This morning is on living with impact. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the teaching of your word today. Lord, and thank you, God, that you have equipped us to live our lives, to make an impact in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last few weeks, I've been teaching from the prophetic word for 2016 that I wrote. And the first part I taught on was that we are called to shelter in Him. We've been hearing a lot about sheltering in place, but God says our safe place is to shelter in Him. The second part of that word was about building the kingdom. God has called us to be kingdom builders. And now the third part of the word is to share with you how your life can make an impact. And that word begins with being thankful. We will have many opportunities to complain in 2016. Smile at your neighbor. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, be thankful. A thankful heart and declaration will release the salvation of the Lord on our behalf. Our offering of thanksgiving honors and glorifies the Lord. Arise and shine with thanksgiving. Amen. Roxanne's excited about that. We're ready to arise and shine with thanksgiving. And the Lord gave me this verse for this year, Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Now this word praise comes from the Hebrew word tovda, which means to properly extend our hands, avow, adoration. It's specifically about a whole choir of worshipers lifting their hands to God and praising Him and thanking Him because He is so great and so good. Can we give the Lord, raise our hands and just give a shout to God today? Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise your mighty name. You are so wonderful and you are so quiet, church. All right. Now, the scripture says that when we praise Him, we offer this thanksgiving, this praise unto Him, and we set our mouth in the right place. Our conversation lines up with the Word of God. I can't tell you how many times Jen and Gabe had the opportunity to go off this direction instead of aligning themselves, sheltering in alignment with God to fulfill the word of the Lord in their life. We've got to align our conversation and then God shows us His salvation. Let's take a look at this word salvation. You know, so many times we think about what we're saved from, but we need to begin to realize what we're saved to. Amen? Salvation means liberty, deliverance, prosperity, safety, salvation, saving. It comes from the Hebrew word that means to avenge, to defend, deliver, help, preserve, rescue, be safe. To bring, having salvation, to save, and to get the victory. So two principles that we see in this verse is, number one, we must offer praise to the Lord. We are priests. Tell your neighbor you're a priest. Now we don't go around and call each other Priest Holly, Priest Ruthie, Priestess. But the scripture says in Revelations chapter 1 that God has made us a kingdom of kings and priests. And priests, when you think of a priest, you think of a priest offering prayers and offering sacrifices. Well, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. So, number one, we offer up the sacrifice of praise. And remember that praise word means it's a choir of worshipers that does that. And number two, we must order our conversation and our ways with prayerful deliberation. So we've been entrusted with a great opportunity in this life to live our life before other people. We saw the drama team sitting up here on the stage, and that was awesome. It was very good. But I want to share with you, every day, you are on the stage of life. And you are living out life in front of other people. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're living life. You're on the stage in front of your family. If you're going out into the workplace, you're living the life of God on a stage at your workplace. God wants us to begin to get the vision of the saints doing the work of the ministry. We are all priests and kings, and God wants our life to make an impact. So we don't want to waste this life and live it haphazardly. Second thing, you might be sitting there this morning wondering, what in the world is a sacrifice of praise? So let's take a look at it, because it tells us exactly what it is in Hebrews 13:15. The scripture says, why don't you read it with me? Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. This is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to the Lord, is a sacrifice of praise. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we worship him and thank him as a group. And then God strengthens us and sends us out to do that in the face of all kinds of opposition. Amen? Have you seen any opposition this week? Oh, yeah. But in the midst of the opposition, we're to order our conversation right. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You know, there are times you just want to say something. I'm telling you, you just need to learn to bite your tongue, bite your cheeks. And ask God to help me deal with that thought and the attitude. Amen? Amen. So the fruit of our lips, giving him praise. Because whoso offers praise glorifies the Lord. And then, when we offer our words correctly, did you ever get soap in your mouth? I think, Elder Jim, I heard you teach on that. And there were 3 bars of Ivory soap up here that nobody ever took. I remember at the end of your message, you said, whoever wants this soap, come get it. And when I got back into town and came to church on Sunday morning, there it was, still sitting right here. But when our words line up with God's will for our life, this is what happens. God says, I will defend you. I will save you. I will rescue you. I will avenge you. I will give you freedom. I will give you deliverance. And I will give you prosperity. Woo! That's what we've been saved to. That's our salvation this morning. Hallelujah. The second thing in that verse is remember to do good, to share and to distribute your goods. And that would go right along with Psalm 50:23. We order our conversation and our ways deliberately before the Lord. So let's go on. How does this happen? You might be questioning. I don't know how to make this happen. Well, let's go on and see what God does for us. Hebrews 13:20-21. Let's read it together. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the God of peace equips you with every good for doing His will. So let's take a look at what this word equip means. Equip comes from the Greek word that means to complete thoroughly, to repair, to adjust, to fit, to frame, to mend, to make perfectly joined together, to prepare, restore. And it's like the setting of a dislocated bone. God does a restoration work on the inside of us. This Greek word, equip, comes from the word katartia, and it also goes along with when the disciples were mending their nets. Do you remember that story? The disciples were sitting by the seashore and they were mending their nets. And it's the same word. God equips us. And how does He equip us? He equips us by repairing us, adjusting us, mending us, healing us. He restores our soul to the place that we can be strong once again. And Tom Sin, that is what God is doing for you in this season. He's restoring your soul so that you may be strong again. It's like you're looking backwards because you look back at what you've lost and how things used to be. But God says today, son, turn around and look forward. I called you to look forward, not backwards. I called you to press on towards the mark of a high calling. And this is your time, Tom, to receive the healing and restoration, son, that I have for you. I have not forgotten you. I am with you. Let's give the Lord a praise. God has called us to stand together when we walk through tough times. For those of you who don't know Tom, he lost his brother, and that was a huge loss in his life. And God is filling that void and restoring his soul, because that's what God does for us. We have many here. We have Kayla lost her grandfather, and we have wives that lost husbands over this last year. And you know what? God is a restorer. And we're called as the family of God to be a part of that mending, healing, restoring, comforting process. That's how our life makes an impact. It's about being Jesus to other people. We're His hands and His feet. And He's called us to move forward and to wrap our arms around people and help them along the way. Over the last 20 years, Leonard and I have been honored to know a person that was a street person. And we met her when we planted our church downtown. And I believe we planted our church in the summer of 1996. And she moved into town shortly after that. And Apostle Leonard would go down to the mission. That's when it was on Main Street. And he would have Bible studies and just sit in there with the people and be who he is. He loves people. He likes to help people. And she was sharing with me this week. She said, you know, I saw that man sitting over there. And he would come in. And she said, I knew he was a holy man. And she said, I asked people around me, who is that man? And they said, oh, he's Pastor Leonard. He has a church down the street. And she said, you know what? That's a church I'm going to go to. And she came down the street, and she was a part of our church. And she has a serious mental health illness, but she was a part of what we were doing. She was a real blessing to me when we first started the church, because she was so willing to come in and clean, and she'd come in and get the bathrooms done, and she'd clean the lobby, and she'd be waiting at the door when we got there, because she wanted in to help get the house of the Lord ready for the people of God. And she would pray and pray and pray. And over the years, she has stayed in this area, but she has come and gone and went to other churches. But she's always stayed in contact with me. And she calls almost every day, sometimes 10, 12 times a day. Anyone that's on staff with me knows her well because she'll call for prayer when she's in need. And over the last few weeks, her conversations were getting more and more delusional. And I knew that she was on a spiral down. And then I got a call from her landlord saying that there was a possibility she would get evicted. And you know what? I saw God move on behalf of this woman that it was so amazing. She called me on a Monday and said, Pastor Janet, she said, there's someone here to clean my apartment. And she said, you want to talk to her? I said, sure, I'd love to talk to her. So she put her on the phone, and this woman had been in prayer, and she helps another woman on another floor. And God told her that this person needed help cleaning. And so she went up and knocked on the door and said, can I help you clean? And that was exactly what she needed. And God supplied that need. And our benevolence team supplied cleaning stuff, compounds for her. She's too poor. She didn't have the money. And so I've just seen God move heaven and earth for this woman. Many, many things. I should have wrote them all down as they were happening. I'd come in and I'd talk to Lauren. I'd be like, God did it again, you know? But he's concerned about the least of these. And that's who we're called to help. We're called to go into the highways and byways. Do you remember the wedding invitation went out to invite people that were wealthy and educated and they were all that? But they didn't want to go. Do you remember the story? And so they said, go out into the highways and byways and invite them to come in. Because they heard the word gladly. And so as we're his hands and feet and we're about this city and we're in other places, we are his hands and feet to those who cannot help themselves. This person could not take care of herself. She couldn't do it. She did not have the sense about her because the mental health illness had taken over. And I remember the time that and other ladies here that were with us way back will remember when she was on medication and she was doing really well. Well, you know, she decided in 2010 she wasn't going to take it anymore because she didn't want to spend the money on it. And so it's been progressively getting worse. And it is very difficult to get into Oaklawn Mental Hospital. And I took her for her hearing, and she was allowed 90 more days in the place that she lived. She's under probation. That was the grace of God. And then, because of our connection with Oaklawn, we were able to get her an early assessment and went in for an assessment. And normally it's an assessment and you just go home, and I really thought I'd be going home with her. But the intake nurse said, you know, I'm going to see if I can do something about this. And immediately went and called to see if they could get her into the emergency room for a physical check because she's not in good physical condition. And then in addition to that, they opened up a bed for her in the facility. And that is a miracle. That is a miracle. That's divine connection. You know, because we're working with Oaklawn, and because we know the people that have the ability to pull the strings and to work some things, they realized, they actually, one of them went with me for the assessment and realized how serious this condition had become. And so we see how God takes care of us. And honestly, she called me this week, and that's where she is. She's in the hospital right now. And she said, oh, Pastor Janet, I'm all checked in, and I'm just enjoying myself here. So praise God. Hallelujah. And she was very excited because in her unit, there's a big sign that says, Jesus is Lord. And she loves God. She can preach you a sermon that will knock you out. She knows the word and she's a prayer warrior. And God honors that. He honors that. He is so compassionate. So what I shared that whole story with you to share this. When we're out of joint, we're in a lot of pain. Physically, if your knee's out of joint or your arm's out of joint, dislocated bone, you're in a lot of pain. But God is a gentle shepherd. And He comes to us gently. And He begins to adjust us and get us back in order. He just doesn't knock us upside the head. Well, sometimes He does. Depends on who you are. But when you're in a lot of pain, He's gentle. He's really gentle. And just to watch God work in her life just reminded me how God desires for us to be in our place, sheltered in Him. And He'll put us back. He'll align us. He'll use maybe a friend to say something to us. You know, true friends don't say nice things to you all the time.
That's right.
That's right? It's like you can be, I remember I went to the grocery store and I had eaten something. I had chocolate on my face, you know, and I'm a friendly person. I'm talking to people. Nobody ever told me I had chocolate on my face. I get back in the car and I look in the mirror and here's this big blob of chocolate. And I talked to at least a dozen people. And so they really weren't my friend, right? Because my friend would be, oh, Janet, come here. You know, cleaning it off of me. God is good. He speaks the truth to us. And He speaks it in love. And He wants to restore our soul. And the only way our souls can be restored is to get put back in place. Because when we're out of place, we're frustrated. Things aren't going our way. We can get angry about it. But you know what? Getting angry about it isn't going to do you any good. I think we need to go back to being priests and simply pray about it. Pray about it and praise God and thank Him in every situation. And like Jen read, we rejoice in our, count it all joy when you enter into various tests and trials. That word count is like an accountant counting money. We got a lot of tests and trials to count, don't we? But count them all joy. Let them pile up as joy and thank God for what He's doing in our lives, because He's called us to live with impact. Our life will make a difference in someone else's life. My question is, do you want your life? Do you want to live your life with impact in 2016? If yes, then allow the God of peace to do His mighty work in you. You know, a person who is a Christian can be a member of the body of Christ, but actually be dislocated or disconnected from the head. God wants us to be connected to the head of the body, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. And until we come into that alignment, we'll have a difficult time. We won't be able to hear God. We'll be frustrated. But God, if we just ask Him, praise Him, thank Him for aligning us according to His will. Come on, church, that's where we get in trouble. We have it all planned out. And we all have a will of our own. And we all try to work it, don't we? We try to work it. Because we think it should go this direction. But it's according to His will. We surrender our life to Him. And when we surrender our life to Him, our life will have an impact. Hallelujah. So God wants to connect us to the head so that we can accomplish our God-given purpose and destiny. Because God wants to be able to work through us. We are called to be ministers of reconciliation. We share the good news of the gospel wherever we go so that people can be reconciled to God. Our prayer is, let His kingdom come and let His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For us to live with impact, two principles, there's prayer and praise. Prayer and praise, we're priests. We offer sacrifices of praise. And the second thing is the words of our mouth and the good works that we do, the deeds that we do for others. People see that. And God is glorified in heaven. We're not living in the what ifs, but we are living our life before men. We're letting our light shine so that they may praise God. I'm going to ask if the praise team would go out and get ready to sing. In closing today, I'm going to ask everyone if you will pray this prayer with me. There may be someone here today that has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There may be someone here today that has drifted away from the Lord and needs to recommit their life to Him. So if you would just, this prayer is directed to Jesus, if you just bow your heads with me and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that You are the Son of God. I believe that You died on the cross and that Your blood was shed for my sins. I believe that You rose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and I have sinned by disobeying Your commandments. I ask You to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like Yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey Your teachings in the Bible. Bring people into my life who will disciple me in Your truth. Jesus, You are my Savior. Jesus, You are my Lord. Thank You for saving me from death.
Thank You for saving me from death.
And giving me new life.
And giving me new life.
Thank You for connecting me.
Thank You for
connecting me. To the head. And into the body of believers. Right now. I commit my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of God is preached, and demonstrations follow the word of God. Hearts are healed, bodies are healed, blind eyes see. The gospel is shared, and God manifests Himself through His word. Ask the Lord today whatever you have need of. God is here to heal you. He is here to deliver you and to set you free. And I'm telling you, nothing is too difficult for our God.